There's that old Saturday morning rooster, y'all. Good morning. I got some great news for you. The elections are over. Oh, baby. I've been pretty nice all week not listening to any campaign ads, or the signs will start coming down now. And listen, I want to talk to everybody about the election. We're going political here for 15 seconds. There are those 15, of you.
14.
There are those 13. Of you that are crying and think it's the end of the world. Hey, I've been through those elections before. We live in America. Everything's going to be fine. There are those of you that want to party and celebrate because you're the big winner. And I would just say, stay measured. That's all. Just stay measured. There's a pendulum that swings. There's a pendulum that swings, baby.
They're all politicians. They're not going to do anything they said they're going to do anyway.
I think there's a lot to be said. I think there's a lot to be said for gridlock.
Yeah,
the more gridlock, yeah. The less anything gets
they
done.
They can't do anything,
okay.
We might be better off.
And that's okay with me. Good morning, y'all. That's the end of the political conversation here at Rosie on the House. We're here to talk about your house, home, castle, or cabin. In the first hour, we're always talking about your garden. Listen, I'm Rosie Romero, been on air Saturday mornings for 26 years. Thank you for making us an Arizona Saturday morning tradition. My co-host, Romy Romero, has been at my side both in the field and in the radio station for the last 15 years. We've got John J. Harper, third generation Arizona landscaper, gardener, nursery owner. Appreciate all your commitment to be into the show so often.
That's fun to do.
And then we've got, of course, my wife, sweet Jennifer, the call screener, who takes your call, finds out where you're calling from, what your dilemma is or question or anxiety, and we fix it for you. No reason to go through this weekend with 1 ounce of worry about anything, because we'll take care of it for you if you'll just call the one toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. Roma, you've got special guests here in studio.
We do. You were saying worry, and I'm looking at Jay, totally decked out in his Sun Devils.
Go Devils, baby.
That's an anxiety we're not going to be able to help, but it'll work itself out soon enough today.
There's only 22 guys that can help us with that.
So. I will say this. At almost 60 years old, football's actually a lot more fun to me now because I take it as a game.
Yeah, I'm learning.
Up until I was 58, it was life or death.
Exactly.
Yeah. It would ruin my whole week. Now I can just take it as a game, and I enjoy it a lot more.
It's a fun day. It's fun to have it mean this much. You know, there's been years where we've played big opponents, but it really didn't mean much because we weren't playing.
Y'all are right up there, man.
Man, it's a big day. Should be a fun game.
Go Sun Devils. And the Cats are playing the Buffaloes, Colorado, I believe. So,
well, they should take care of that.
I hope so.
But, yeah, I hope they're both highly ranked when we play later in this month.
All right, let's introduce our special guest here.
You know, you had mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, this is your 26th year on, the first company to ever sponsor or be allowed to sponsor or get Rosie's endorsement was the Quality Block Company. And out of Quality Block comes Quality Iron. Tim Freeland, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Why don't you give us a little preview of y'all's company history?
Well, my father-in-law bought the business back in 87, Clem Hellman, and I married into it in 96 and was blessed to be asked to come to work, take over their iron division, which was just kind of a necessary evil, I guess, back at that time. And we've grown it. We do a lot of different things now. We do a lot of builder work, you know, gates, view fencing, things like that. And then about 15 years ago, we started doing trellises. Kind of came out of nowhere, and it's grown into be a good size of our business now with Arizona Trellis.
And that's what we're talking about today, privacy landscaping. Later in the 10 o'clock hour, our topic for this Saturday is sheds and outdoor buildings and storage. Well, those don't always make the prettiest focal point, so there's a lot of ways we can put a trellis up and plant something to kind of camouflage it.
Great idea. Yeah, when you mentioned that was the subject, we try and make the gardening tip go with the construction or building tip. Can't always do that.
Roofing shingles and petunias don't have a lot in common there.
No, but, you know, when you're talking about a shed to store your gardening tools and your lawnmower and all those things, you know, that you have around the house and you put them in there, and there are some pretty nice sheds out there, but It's always when you're designing a landscape, that's always a big question. Where can I put the storage shed? You know, because I don't care what you do, it's going to be, you don't want it to be the focal point of your backyard, certainly. So you're trying to plan your landscape around where it makes sense to have that. It's got to be handy enough that you can get to those tools without, you know, too much trouble. And you don't want to drag your lawnmower across a bunch of granite and rock and that sort of thing. But then I thought about, well, maybe we turn it into kind of really a positive, and what can we do to, hey, the shed's there, we got to have it, so what can we do?
Or your neighbor's shed's so tall it's blocking your view, you're tired looking at it.
And that's it more a lot of times more than not, is it's the neighbor's shed or the neighbor's motorhome or the neighbor's, you know,
fill in the blank.
Whatever, that we don't want to look at. And we get that a lot in the nursery and landscape industry, is how do I screen this? How do I hide this? Whether it's visual or maybe it's noise abatement or all of the above. So how do we screen it? Well, one way we thought about that is trellis products that Tim makes. We have a big display in our landscape center of different colors and shapes and sizes of trellises. We use a lot of a fan-shaped iron trellis that he makes for us in a lot of landscapes.
That's a vertical trellis for planting?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So I was thinking shade trellis. These are vertical landscape trellis.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, both either freestanding or wall-mounted.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
And they're, you know, color selection, powder-coated. They last forever. Well, I'll let Tim tell you about what they're, but they're steel. We quit carrying years ago. We used to get wooden trellises, and they were either redwood or white, and then they got cheaper and more poorly made over a few years. We just finally quit carrying. By the time people got them home, they were falling apart. and so we just gave up. And then, you know, Tim came along, and well, it's just changed our whole outlook on trellises again. Yes, they're a little more expensive than the old wooden trellis, but they're not your.
You get what you pay for.
They're not your grand. You'll never have to buy another one.
Yeah, so. They will outlast your plants usually.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Maybe the house.
Maybe the house.
Some of the trellises are better constructed than some of the houses and fences we've put them on. I know that. So screening with vines on trellises or with large landscape shrubs, all those types of things, you know, is just a great way to go. And you know, of course, the trellises you can get to match your architecture and your color of your walls and stucco and that sort of thing. They're awesome.
Yeah. And in addition to privacy screening, there's a lot of other benefits. You had mentioned the freestanding ones. If you've got a south wall that gets a lot of direct sunlight, putting a trellis a couple feet off, putting a vine on it, creating air gap, the shaded space. I mean, that.
Yeah, a lot of people do it on west-facing walls, west exposure walls, and either do where they have an air gap of maybe, say, a foot with a freestanding trellis, or even mount the trellis right to that wall so it cuts down a lot on that heat radiation. And we found that to be a very effective tool, especially teaming with Harpers and with the plant knowledge they have, what foliage is going to be able to fill in that wall, cover it up, and
stay alive on that heat.
Yeah, and limit that sun exposure.
Now, what about arches? Do y'all do anything with
with
arches?
We do. We have a standard line of trellises that we carry all the time. It's more of a utility-based, very simple grid pattern. But then we also do a lot of custom work. Framed trellises with arches, diamond designs, woven wire. It's pretty much limitless what you can do depending on what your budget is.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. Bringing now Tony into the conversation. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I noticed that my orange tree has, on the leaves, black spots are appearing, brown or black spots. I'm not sure what that is.
On the leaves?
Yes, on the back of the leaves.
Well, it could be a number of things, but and it peels off?
No, it doesn't. I tried to rub it off, but it's kind of stained on it. It doesn't go away.
Okay, and it's just on the underneath side?
Yes.
Well, it could be residue from something, which doesn't make sense since it's on the underneath side. It sounds perhaps more like, and we do get some different molds that might grow, especially on older, more sun-damaged leaves that, you know, have lost their ability to shed water. They start absorbing some moisture. And then with all the rain we had in August and September, My guess is you got a little bit of mold or a fungus growing on the underneath side of those leaves. What percentage of the leaves of the tree are doing that, would you say?
I'd say close to like 30 or 40% of the tree.
Does it seem to be on the older leaves, the lower or more interior, or is it out on the tips with the newer growth?
It's more inside and on the lower end.
Yeah, my guess is that's what you have, is something kind of growing on some of that older foliage. I would just watch for it on the new growth. I wouldn't be too probably overly concerned if it doesn't spread onto the newer growth and it stays on that older growth. That will all slough off this spring as you fertilize it in February and it puts on new growth.
Now, it's supposed to be a pretty cold winter for a lot of citrus that we put on, because we had so much rain this August time, there was a lot of new growth that came on that's now very susceptible to being frozen off.
Well, if it came on in August and September, it's probably not terribly. What you don't want to do is fertilize now and have it push new growth into November, you know, because it's warm enough now it can push, you know, especially 85, almost 90 degrees. So you want to stop feeding, you know, about, you know, middle or end of September, so that you don't push new growth going into now. The growth that came on actually late summer or early fall in the monsoons is a good thing, because we get a lot of sun damage, a lot of damaged foliage from the summer, and that helps the tree recover, which is why we do recommend feeding at Labor Day. But you want to wait now until February, till frost is over, so that if it does freeze, and we do have some old not so nice foliage, older foliage. It's normal anyway for that plant to replace about a third of its foliage come spring anyway. So it's about 30% and it's older stuff. That's all the foliage. It's just going to slough off and be replaced.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.